most trusted and connected man in Utah.
Former governor of Florida, Jeb Bush.
Doug Wright.
We win when our message is hopeful and optimistic, when we apply conservative principles to help everybody rise up, not just those that have already made it.
The Doug Wright Show on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Interesting day back in Washington, not only at the White House when Vice President Joe Biden made it official he is not going to seek the presidency, but also over in the House with Paul Ryan saying, okay, under certain conditions, I will run for Speaker of the House. And I thought, you know, let's put in a phone call to Rob Bishop. I always appreciate, first of all, his opinion on Congress and what's unfolding back there now. But I also quite often rely on his historical knowledge. And Rob, we did a little quick research on this. You know, Mitt Romney mentioned over the weekend that not a whole lot of people go on to be president after being Speaker.
You know, there haven't been a lot of people that have gone on from Speaker to the White House. So I'd hate to lose him as a potential contender down the road for the White House.
The only one we could find was President Polk, and he had a little soft spot in between where he was governor of Tennessee. Are we correct in that? Is James Polk the only person to have been Speaker who ever became president?
Yeah. You know, I'm a Cubs fan, so I didn't like the promo.
Yeah, well,
actually, I didn't like last night either.
Oh, yeah.
B, you're right. I think Polk is the only one. There are several speakers who failed to make it into the in a run for the presidency, like James Blaine. But he's the only one that went from speaker to the presidency. And he was a Democrat, and that was in the 1840s, so a long time ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Were you surprised that Ryan finally succumbed?
No. If he was going to say no outright, I think he would have done it early on. So the longer it took, the more I thought his answer was. However, it's not a firm yes, to be honest with you. Friday, he'll have a firm yes or no. He gave himself some kind of wiggle room on if certain conditions are going to be met to allow him to be successful.
Yeah.
So it's not a done deal yet.
When does he actually meet with the Freedom Caucus?
I don't know the order, but he's meeting with all the different subgroups supposedly this week leading up to a final decision on Friday. Then on the 28th, we're supposed to have a conference in which we will elect the speaker. And then on the 29th, I think, which is what, next Thursday,
mm-hmm.
we're supposed to do it formally on the floor.
Interesting.
However, after the last time I talked to you about the process, I don't know if I have the right to talk to you again. I could have given you a good scoop. But I was surprised like everyone else.
You know, for those who maybe weren't listening that day, we talked to Rob just as he was walking into that meeting. I mean, literally, as he was getting ready to go in, and nobody saw, you know, the situation that unfolded where Kevin McCarthy just took himself out at like in 40 seconds, and everybody's jaw was dropping. And as far as are the demands or the concessions, or I don't know what term to put to them, the requests that Mr. Ryan is making of the House in general, but specifically, and he mentioned the Freedom Caucus specifically, that basically, you know, to use the vernacular of today, dudes, you want me to be Speaker of the House, then get behind me. You know, don't undermine me. Let's try to work together. Is that reasonable?
Well, I think it was refreshing that he was so open and honest with it. And
yeah.
He mentioned the Freedom Caucus, also the Tuesday group, which is the more liberal to moderate Republicans, as well as the Republican Study Committee. He wanted the endorsement of all those subcommittee groups, which I think is a fair request. Listen, for Ryan, he clearly met that there has been no Republican speaker probably in the last, you know, going back to the 1800s, that left the speakership job under his own conditions or in a positive relationship. He simply said if he becomes speaker, it's probably the last job he'll ever take.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he realizes that. He also realizes that it's going to be an imposition on his family. I think it's perfectly legitimate for him to be saying, if we're going to do it, we have to do it the right way, and we have to do it together. And I think it's a fair request, especially when he said, I don't really want to do this. He is, as Ways and Means Chairman, in his ideal job. It's his powerhouse. It's where he was a staffer. It's where he likes dealing with those kind of policy issues. He doesn't want to actually leave that to be speaker.
Yeah.
But he said, if this was all about ego and not power, he'd be running for president right now.
Yeah. You know, you and I have talked about you've talked about this, and you and I have talked about this, how it used to be the custom and it used to be the way when you were running for high office that you would feign disinterest in it and that you would say, oh, no, no, no. All the while, you're just hoping and praying that your supporters would be out there lobbying for you and really hard hitting for you. It seems to me that that was not the case here, that Paul Ryan genuinely does not want to be speaker.
No, that's very clear. Yeah.
As far as what Peter King said, I thought this was interesting. He is quoted as saying, if Paul Ryan can't unite us, no one can. Who else is out there? And then he went on to say that if we can't get behind Paul Ryan, that would be a sign of utter dysfunction, total madness. Is there somebody else out there, Rob?
There's always somebody out there. And sometimes it is who you least expect it. Go back to 1998. When Gingrich was not running for speaker again, Livingston was the nominee who pulled himself out 2 weeks before the session started. And they went down and found a new speaker who was the deputy whip, the assistant whip. That was unprecedented at the time. There's always the opportunity. As I said before, we have the tendency of using hyperbole about what's happening in Congress. It's unprecedented. There's very little we do here that is unprecedented.
Yeah.
And Congress has faced worse times. There have been worse speaker elections. I mean, 1858, the balloting went from, I think, the beginning of December until the last week in February before they were able to come up with a compromise candidate. But there will be a compromise candidate. There will be somebody who will, I think, get the support of everybody. And if it's not Paul, it'll be somebody else.
You know, I've actually heard your name bandied about he laughs. But seriously, I've heard some people say, you know what, if some of these situations, you know, go off the rails, we could do a whole lot worse than Rob Bishop.
Well, those people are very kind, and I appreciate it. But this is one of those things which we are at the stage right now where no one's really seeking the speakership. The speakership has to come to you. And let's see what happens on Friday.
Jason Chaffetz, this was so ironic. We had Jason all ready to go on the line, just getting ready to talk to him. And then we got word that Vice President Biden would be speaking, and we went to that. So I didn't have a chance to really flesh this out with him. Do you still see a path if it's not Ryan, if it could be Jason Chaffetz?
There's all sorts of opportunities and options that are open there.
One quick thought, Vice President Biden, I really started to, you know, and I wouldn't have bet my farm on it. I never would on these things, but I began to really sound like he was not going to run. And I really believe that, you know, without an infrastructure in place, without a campaign really in place, without monies being raised, without, you know, with so much of the moderate or the middle ground of the Democratic Party had already aligned themselves with Hillary Clinton, today's announcement didn't surprise me. For you, what was your reaction when you heard that the vice president was not going to run?
Well, I think you actually hit it on the head. Hillary Clinton had so much money and so much organization that it would be extremely difficult for anyone to try and catch her. Right now, he's been given like the benefit of the doubt. A lot of people, especially in the media, are very positive about him because he's not a candidate. It's kind of intriguing. As soon as he announces, that changes, and then everyone starts going after him. And actually, as a Republican, I'm very skeptical about trying to come up with the ideal Democrat I'd like to run, because sometimes you get what you want and it doesn't turn out the way you liked it.
Yeah.
So their party will decide whom they want. I'm still kind of pulling for Bernie Sanders, but that's beside the point.
Rob, I really appreciate you joining us today here at KSL. We'll watch this speakership situation very, very closely, and I'll let you get back to your day job.
Oh, actually, I'm just off the Senate House floor right now, getting ready to go speak on the floor.
All right, what are you going to speak on?
There is actually a bill that deals with education issues that would be a program to allow kids to have options and choices of where they can go within the District of Columbia. And even though education is a Tenth Amendment state issue, the Constitution also gives jurisdiction of the District of Columbia to Congress. So we're trying to talk about giving kids choices and giving parents choices. And choice is a powerful tool. I support it.
Rob, as always, thanks. Good luck on your speech.
Hey, thank you.
Rob Bishop with us, our first district congressman here at KSL News Radio. Coming up, I wanted to just quickly talk for a moment about Mormon apostle Dahlin Oaks and his recent comments.
The breaking news keeps rolling.
We have some breaking news in the KSL 24-hour news.
We're getting some breaking news. Here's Mary Ellen, guys.
Shane McFarland and Amy Iverson are on watch, starting at 1 on KSL News Radio.
This